This podcast is brought to you by The Province.
The Province Sports Podcast.
It's Whitecaps Weekly. It's Wednesday, March 8th. Patrick Johnston, right here. Mike Martinego, hi, welcome back.
I've made it back, everyone.
You found it?
I did it.
Found the loading dock?
I found the loading dock elevator where you left me for an extended period of time.
Out in the cold.
And I hung out with a mouse.
The truth is that Mike gets to come in through the loading dock. He's that big of a VIP.
Yeah, and you made me wait 9 minutes. Outside. It was really cold, everyone.
Mike brought notes. He's got a notepad.
It's so weird. I never prepare.
It's like he knows stuff.
I really don't.
All right, Mike. Well, you know, hey.
Stop the banter, Patrick. Come on.
Can you believe that we're here to talk about soccer? Soccer.
Soccer.
With a W and a K.
Yeah. I mean, we got off to a great start last week, I thought.
I listened back to that podcast. I thought we did a great job.
You know what? Considering I that was the first day I met you. Considering that, I thought we knocked it out of the park.
We did.
Or we put it in the back of the net, as they like to say. Oh, God.
Do you miss
the? I just punched myself in the stomach. Do I miss what?
No, I'm not going to say.
Oh.
Do you miss soccer games on Sportsnet? That's all I thought about. They tried hard. Locally they did.
For such a limited period of time, that was like a pretty... That catchphrase caught on.
Yeah.
Like, that was...
Craig McKeown, good dude. Tried it out.
Yeah.
Gave it a go.
And
that's all I think of.
Yeah, I mean he put in the effort and it was quite something. That was quite the call.
And get excited.
Oh yeah. Like really out of nowhere.
I mean, that's
too.
A hard job. Play by play is a hard. Have you done play by play? You're a radio guy.
I sure am. You know what? I actually haven't. I think growing up, I've done it for fun. You know, those like, what's that like John Shorthouse story where he like did play by play when he was like 9 years old, yeah, and has the tape of it.
Yeah.
I probably did that, but I didn't record myself.
I just assume that all play by play guys do that.
Oh, 100%. Of course.
It's hard. That's all I know. I've done it once or twice. It's hard.
It varies sport to sport for sure. And I think like, you know, people have said this, baseball would be difficult. Because there's a lot of downtime.
There's so much chatter. So much fill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, not to sound be critical or whatever, but I think with soccer, especially from a North American perspective, I think some people talk too much.
Probably.
You can let the play do the talking more. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can... That said, I think there's a number of English guys who overdo it, who are just over the top and try to fill too much and talk out of their...
Try to be too
rear
insightful.
Ends. Oh, yeah. 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 I mean, Stuart Robson today. I was watching the I called him out. I was watching the Barcelona PSG.
The Barcelona game that everybody was watching except me because I was at a rugby press conference.
Man, that stings right there. Hey, you're excited for your second.
I came back, and that's all Chappie could say. He says, "Patrick, do you know about what happened in the game?" And I said, "No, what happened?" And he told me, and he goes, "I wish you could have watched it."
It was quite something, and it was the big term right now is when referring to a team or a player is they bottled it. PSG bottled it. It was terrible. Like I just saw a stat actually as you left me out in the cold, where for I think from the 85th minute on, PSG completed 4 passes, and
they had the ball
5+ minutes of stoppage time. That when they got the ball, they completed 4 passes. 3 of those 4 passes were from kickoff. After Barcelona goals, like it was just one way, and there were so many fouls. It was just a crazy ending. But back to Stuart Robson, he was just, you know, he's just throwing in all these things and trying to sound so smart. And, you know, he's watched PSG players like once, and that was probably in the first leg. But anyways,
you realize why I left you outside.
Why is that?
I forced you to do research because I want you to come informed.
I use so much data on my phone.
Would you get to the soccer?
Love that. Love that, Pete.
So Whitecaps won one game. Champions League. Now off to Mexico next week.
Should we start with that?
I think we should. I think that, I mean, it is the big story. I think in the big picture, with the way the MLS season is, I think that's the big story. I think they're up against it. They're playing a very, very good team. I mean, you know, you get to the semifinals, it should be hard.
Of course.
Do they have any chance?
Well, of course they have a chance.
I thought they played pretty... I mean, I didn't think Red Bulls was terribly good. I thought they were pretty poor, in fact. But I thought the Whitecaps played quite well last week.
Yeah, they... You know what? They did what they had to do.
That's true.
And they weren't stunning in any respect. And for criticism's sake, they were chances they missed as well. Mm-hmm. Back to the first leg and in the second leg, mm-hmm. too. They had great opportunities on the counter to really bury the mm-hmm. match, and they didn't. And they left the door open. But... It's early days in mm-hmm. the year for them, so you have to probably throw that out there. But it was a pretty job well done, I'd say. I mean, mm-hmm. you get an early goal, and they sat back a little. You know, that early portion of the second half was I remember saying it during the match. It was pretty frightening. This is way too early to be playing like this.
Yeah.
You know, to defend and sit back and try to soak up this pressure, and they got out of it. And David Oestead made a save that. In the end, didn't really count because it was flagged offside, but he made a ridiculous stop.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just one way for a while.
Yeah.
And then they were able to get that goal off a set piece, a broken set piece, I suppose. But, you know, you throw on Freddie Montero and he just hammered one home. It was quite a debut for him. And, you know, there were positives to take from that. And like we said a week ago, this was a very... It was big in the sense that if they didn't win, it would be a letdown,
mm-hmm.
and they should have the advantage. And so, not to jump too far ahead now, but that's why Sunday was a bit of a letdown.
Yeah,
when you have a team like New York, Philadelphia, in this case, going across the continent, and they have to play on a turf that for me right now seems extra bouncy. I don't know if it's this winter layoff and they've put in events, and I love my turf talk. But it just seems like, and I understand everything when it comes to maintenance and different things that take place at BC Place. It's a multi-purpose facility. It's not a football and soccer stadium. It's not. They have fairs. They have monster truck. They have so many things that take place there. So the turf is going to take a beating, and it's looked extra slippery, extra bouncy. But the Caps should be kind of capitalizing on that. And on Sunday they didn't, anyways. But
the Champions League. Result, well, I think, was big for them in terms of just being able to build some buzz. To more than anything, like there's an early thing to say, hey, look, I mean, even if it doesn't go well against Tigres,
not Tigre, everyone, pronounce not that S.
Tigres, it's Spanish. for those that didn't know, Mexico, they speak Spanish.
What? They don't speak Mexican. Talking about
Monterrey is a fine town with fine people, as I said, but it's certainly not the sexy opponent that it would have been to go play Pumas in Mexico City. But anyway, they're a fantastically good team. The Mexican league is a, you know, it's the best league in North America, better than Argentina, I think so.
Well, Argentina is not in North America.
Sorry, in the Americas.
Sorry, I had to do that to you. I'm sorry.
In America, as they would say, in Latin America, because it's all one continent.
No, I think Argentina and Brazil have quality
That's
size.
That's true. That's true.
Like, come on, let's rein it back a little
That's
bit.
True.
But yeah, Mexico is the cream of the crop in CONCACAF.
I actually might argue on average quality in that league, because the Argentine league is huge and has teams at the bottom of it that will never win, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The Brazilian league, I assume, is rather similar, but
they have so many
competitions in Brazil as part of the
and how many, and you know, you can even go into other South American countries as well, like Colombia, for example,
right.
There's clubs from there. And I mean, we can go down the list. I'm not going to list off every single one.
Can you name every country? No.
Peru, Ecuador, Uruguay. No, but this team is a very good quality side, mm-hmm. and they're going to pose an extremely difficult challenge. And just based on the internationals that they have in Andre Pierre Gignac, you know, a guy who was at Euro 2016 for mm-hmm. France.
Yeah.
He made that side. He was like the French version, I suppose, of Jovinko, who left his domestic league and went abroad. He didn't go to MLS. He went to
Liga MX.
Liga MX. And he did extremely well, and he's getting paid well. And I'm curious, actually, to see whether he makes the jump to MLS or maybe China in the near future. But, you know, they have a lot of good Mexican players, but the standout names internationally-wise are Gignac and Eduardo Vargas, the Chilean, and a guy who I think a lot of people wanted to see in MLS, maybe even with Vancouver. So those are the guys that stand out, obviously, from that perspective. And yeah, you said, do they have a chance? Of course they have a chance, but you know, they could very well come back to Vancouver for that second leg, which is a bit surprising in a sense, but they're the top seed. So they could come back to Vancouver and they could be down 4-0. And I don't know what's going to happen in that second leg when it comes to who's going to show up and all of that, but it's going to be a huge task. And it'll be interesting to see what they do this weekend against San Jose. And what kind of side they look like. And are they going to put emphasis on the first leg CCL semifinal, or are they going to go more the league route? Or as the Americans say, route. I'm curious to see what they're going to do. I think Robbo's got some decisions on
it. He called it a nightmare, I believe, when asked about it at practice.
He did use that word, which is a bit dramatic, if you ask me.
I think it's fair. He's like, which game do I want to tank? No, I mean, that was the we keep sort of not talking about Sunday's game, but trying to save it. But I mean, that was, I think, part of the story was that he had to make some decisions on how to organize, you know, which game did he really want to win? Well, it was easy because the Red Bulls one was first, and he just said, I'm going to win that one, and we'll see how things go on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had chances to score. That was the other thing, if we want to jump ahead to Sunday, one of the things about Sunday that kind of made me think. I mean, one person told me afterwards that they thought it was an awful soccer game.
How dare they?
Which I thought was extreme, but they have an informed opinion. I've seen worse, was what I guess I went with. It was not, if you're looking for an inspiring home opener, it was not an inspiring home opener. But I wasn't dismayed, because it's clear, we knew what the problem was. We knew that they have, you know, a bunch of defensive midfielders, guys whose job is not, or instinct or skill set or whatever, is not to pass the ball nicely up the field. It's just not what they're there for.
Yeah.
But the thing that kind of stood out to me was, well, there was that corner where Jordan Harvey almost scored.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually quite funny, because I was with my friend. He goes, oh, wow, look at all those guys they got on the post. And
that's why
you have a guy on the post.
Yeah.
You know, and Harvey got a good shot off.
I think it was Rosenberry who was on the
one of them,
which is a sweet name. But yeah, he was on the post. And yeah, that, how many times do you say, like, where was the guy who was supposed to be on the post?
And they that was great. And you know, but you think about that, or on the rebound, say they somehow put it in.
Yeah.
And the Whitecaps walk away from that with a 1-0 win.
Teixeira had a great chance too.
He did.
A little bit of interplay between Davies and Hurtado. Oh, Hurtado. But it ended up on Teixeira's foot and he pushed it wide. And that was
a
golden opportunity.
That was a great opportunity.
They found a breakthrough there.
Yeah. And Breck Shea, I mean, he had a couple chances and when he came on late, and you know, so, you know, you don't want to play what if, but here I am playing what if. You know, they win. Say they win 1-0 or 2-0. All of a sudden, are people still feeling as despondent about it? I mean, there is no doubt they need. We've seen it before that scoring goals has been a consistent problem, and last year keeping them out was a even bigger problem.
Well, they achieved that, right? I mean, if you want to find a positive from Sunday, they kept a clean sheet, which it was a rarity last season, and oddly enough, looking back, I was like, wow, they did that. When was the last time? I think it was the second to last game of the season. They actually kept a clean sheet as well. So they're on a bit of a hot streak. And if you even want to throw in one of the second leg of the CCL match, then, you know, that came through. There's always going to be question marks about their finishing. I said this during the game and, you know, it's the first game of the season, but those are, considering their home record last year, which I don't have it in front of me because I'm not prepared.
It was terrible.
But it was either second to worst or worst in Major League Soccer. Like, you have to win your matches at home. And again, it's the first game of the season at home. but they should have won that match, you know, considering, and maybe it's too black and white here, but Philadelphia, cross continent, they're playing on a surface they're not used to. They're playing at a late time. If you really want to get technical, it's a 9:45 PM kickoff Philadelphia time.
9:30.
Yeah, exactly. I think they pushed it onto TSN Go at that point. Damn curling. But that was a match you have to take full points from, and they didn't. So are there some negatives at the same time? Yes, Rabo, he's tried to prop things up as best as possible and say that he's proud of his team, and it's been a busy 3/4 days. And but, you know, when you look ahead to what they have in front of them here with this match against San Jose, and we just talked about, well, how are they going to set up? I suppose they can, you know, MLS isn't probably the more pressing thing right now. It's just the second game of the season. How many teams struggle right off the bat in Major League Soccer and find a way to turn it around come match 15, match 20? So maybe they go into this and not throw in the towel, but, you know, just try to get through it. Try to get through it unscathed and look ahead to what is essentially a knockout match, because they're, you know, they're top 25 club in the world, PJ. This is where they are.
I can't believe I've let us go 16 and a half minutes. I mean, when I texted you last week, I was like, that's the talking point. I want you to name off all 24 teams on that list.
I enjoyed the people who thought I was being serious with that.
Come on, MLS.
I got into an actual serious conversation with one guy. I was like, really? Are you really doing this right now?
It was like the guy that got mad at Mark for comparing, saying that Mane is number 10. Oh, just play like Dele. You'll be fine.
Yeah, because
he's like, don't be crazy. Mark's like, if you can't understand that this is Twitter and it's probably a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
You gotta have...
play like it'll be fine.
The old tongue-in-cheek people. Come on. But I'm curious because that first leg, it's not be-all, end-all because, yes, there's a second leg, but it's going to be a big match because, you know, if Tigres is smart, they would bury Vancouver right away. So... yeah, I'll build it up as a be-all, end-all, winner-take-all. So are they going to put all the emphasis on that one and again put the league on the back burner because it's only two matches in, and say they lose in San Jose and they got one point out of six? Is it the end of the world? Well, maybe not really. They've never historically, well, I guess right across the board, MLS teams aren't good away from home. Vancouver really no exception. So... maybe they put their emphasis on
Club World Cup champions, man. Come on. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Where is the next Club World Cup?
You know what? Somebody said this on Twitter. They got to watch out for Barcelona when they take on Barcelona.
I heard this Barcelona team's pretty good.
They could, you know what? They were down 4-0.
Watch out for those Spanish teams.
Initially, and you got to watch out for them. That type of comeback?
Unbelievable. Heard they play soccer real good.
They're not a bad team. Not a bad squadron.
Now you're turning into Coach Ted Lasso.
Yeah. I miss him. Where's Jason Sudeikis?
That was fantastic. Whitecaps in San Jose. Whitecaps in Monterrey. This is my last question. So which are you emphasizing?
Is this your last question? Oh.
Well, what else is there?
Oh, there's so much.
Well, Bolaños. We talk about Bolaños. Bolaños is still...
there's Breck Shea.
Breck Shea is going to settle.
David Edgar? Ooh.
I know no details. I don't, actually.
We'll talk about that later, maybe. Okay, what were you saying? What? San Jose? Where am I?
No, so they're in San Jose. We don't think... like, Bolaños is another week to at least, I think, is what Rabo said.
Well, he was by all accounts, full training today.
Yes. Which is, you know, I mean, last week he was training at the same time, but on his own. Mm-hmm. Which was new, because he hadn't done that in a while.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, maybe he comes off the bench in San Jose. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. He could get some minutes.
He comes off the bench in Monterrey.
The glaring thing with the Caps through, to some extent, their match, the second leg against Red Bulls, but definitely the home match, the MLS opener, was the number 10 position. and who is the link and who is the provider. And, you know, is it going to be, is it going to come down to Matias Laba and Andrew Jacobson? I thought Jacobson, who is a pretty decent player, he had a rough go, especially in that first half. I thought he was dispossessed quite a bit. He wasn't winning tackles.
He just ran out of options, I felt like. I mean, and part of it is, you know, you're playing deep like that. You need to have guys to pass to. But I just felt like, you know, I mean, Mané is guilty of it too. It's why Mané at 10 just hasn't worked, because mm-hmm. they end up running into corners, and then what do you do?
Yeah.
Try to hack it over the guy.
When you... A lot of people talk about Bolaños, myself included, thinking, okay, they bring him back. Well, he can be a number 10. Well, he could, but he's more of a winger. So that's not necessarily ideal. And, you know, I don't really know what they're going to do here in the short term. You know, there's people saying, well, what about Bustos? Why doesn't he get a shot? It's a bit of a fair question, I suppose, but obviously, Robbo doesn't think he's up to it. And, you know, so when you're playing somebody out of position like a Kakuta Mané, like you said, it's not really going to work. He's not really the provider type. He's the guy on the wing who mm-hmm. will blow past you a la Alphonso Davies.
Yeah.
How did he get called?
I was going to say, how was that
a foul?
I think because they took out the linesman.
I've watched it like seven times over.
There was
over.
No foul.
There wasn't.
No.
It made no sense. No. It's like the referee saw his compadre go down and was like, no, what did he do?
Young man, know your place.
Well, how could he hurt my friend? And it was stupid.
Yeah.
But he's been great so far, Davies.
If he keeps this up, he's not staying around.
No, I wouldn't expect that. But with all that said, they are missing a link.
Yeah.
It's a key issue, I think, right now. And, you know, whether it's a deeper line player to kind of pull the strings, whether it's somebody more advanced, they just don't have that connection. But this isn't really a new problem.
No.
We've seen this for quite some time, and this is why we've seen a team soak everything up, play deep, and then counter quickly.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's the lesson. I think I tweeted a story a week ago. I mean, it's from a while back. But that's the lesson for Leicester City. I mean, Leicester, mm-hmm. their deal was, yeah, they played nice edge. Like, they literally rolled a bunch of dice and got them all come up. I mean, it was an incredible achievement winning that title last year. But there was a lot of luck. A lot of things went really well.
Yeah.
And they had some players that were playing exactly the way they should be playing. And they got some bounces, but full value to them.
You need players playing out of their heads.
You need players playing out of their heads.
N'Golo Kante who would win every ball, and a Drinkwater who stepped up and played so well, and a Riyad Mahrez who could play provider.
Mahrez's passing stats, there's a really good post, and if people are looking for it, they can ask me about it, and I'll message it to you, or I'll send it over to you, because it's just it was an interesting in-depth analysis over basically how his passing has changed from one year to another.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty clearly he's feeling more pressure and he is not able to make as many forward passes as he was. A lot of his passes are going backwards or going sideways. And that generally is not what you want. In a play, his key last year was that he was able to drive the play up the field with his ability to pick out his forwards moving up the field
mm-hmm.
and pick up there was something. I mean, there was a number, I think in December that at some point he had passed the ball to Jamie Vardy four times on the season, you know? So if you figure it out, where's Vardy? He's there. I'm standing between you two. And that's that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the lesson there is that you need that guy. You need that. I mean, they're not going to find a guy as good as that, but they need to find a guy who is going to be able to make things happen. And the thing that interests me about the 2015 team is still not clear to me who exactly that was, because it wasn't Pedro, because Pedro was mostly hurt that year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they made a lot of things, good things happen that year, and we're not, I think, on the whole necessarily sure why. I mean,
bit of a mystery.
You had Mané on the wing. We haven't seen Mané on the wing yet, and last year, second half of the season, we didn't see Mané on the wing. You know, that in the end, to get the ball up the field, they need to sort that out. I think that's the biggest story. They need to sort that out, and it's you know, it would be great to see Russell Tybert be able to transform into that player. They had Kofi. Kofi, you know, as I've said before, Kofi was a big story here. I think Kofi's ability to move up the field, I think Kofi's ability, you know, I asked Mauro Rosales about it last week, and he said they are, him and Tyrod, very different players. He said Kofi's technical ability was, I think he was suggesting underappreciated.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't an out-and-out attacking midfielder, but he was a guy that got the ball up the field, and he found people. And I'm sure if we went back and looked at that, that's part of the story.
Rosales, a decent player, apparently a good player agent.
Yeah.
And a good scout there, because that's a pretty good analysis of Kofi and a player they miss.
Yeah.
A ball winner who is technically sound. So, I don't know if we can move to Breck Shea if you like.
Sure.
Because why not?
What would you like to say about Breck Shea?
Well,
he's a tall. He's very tall.
it's two-pronged, because with Breck Shea, I think so far for me, you have to like what you see. He's offered quite a bit. He put in a really good performance against New York Red Bulls. He came on for a short period of time, 31 minutes, 31 plus minutes. That double switch with Montero against Philadelphia. And I thought when he and Montero came in, the game shifted.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked better moving forward. He adds a decent amount. I'm intrigued and pretty impressed so far with what he's been able to do. I think maybe it was a big ask to get 90 minutes out of him back to back, so that's why they brought him on as a sub. But this could be a good pickup, and he's just a better fit, obviously different, but a better fit than Giles Barnes.
I think he's a good fit. I mean, I sit back and I go, okay, this is a talented player. There's a reason why he has 30 whatever caps for his country.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big dude. He's a presence. We talked last week about 2011 Breck Shea running at you and that you knew you were in trouble.
Yeah.
We've seen a little bit of that. We haven't seen that too much. We have seen him trying to get some goals, and I think that's good. I'm not worried, that he hasn't scored, because he's had some chances, and you would hope that he would have bagged one of them. But it's a new team. It takes a while to figure it out. And the first game he was playing a position he hasn't played a lot of, I thought he actually did a pretty decent job.
Yeah.
Up top. And then on the weekend, started on top, moved out to the left, looked great, I think, on the left. But by the, it was 20 minutes. But in the end, they need to get time together, and they need to make it all happen. And for me, the jury's still out.
Mm-hmm.
There's no conclusion here yet.
He started that goal that Davies scored against the Red Bulls.
Yeah.
He was the start of that.
Yeah.
I mean, he put a nice little through ball, and then he hopped on and he ran at the goal, and obviously Davies scored, but he was very much part of that play. So I've been impressed with what he's had to offer. And hey, PJ, that's why they're paying him the big bucks.
People freaking out. I think people need to calm down.
Not to go too in depth about this, but I am surprised so far that MLS has been so transparent early on,
mm-hmm,
with this news. And they threw the rosters out there, and they put tags, and they put DP and they put Generation Adidas, mm-hmm, and they put homegrown, and they put season ending injury. And I was surprised that they were so clear about that. But the news that came down a day ago was confirmation that Breck Shea is a DP.
I just assumed that everyone knew that.
Well, there was the whole belief that they were buying down his salary with Tam.
Well, yeah, but why would they do it now? Why would,
exactly?
And I never, and I thought I, folks, if you didn't pick that up from when I wrote about him last week, I thought that was kind of obvious, because it's like, well, they could buy him down with Tam in June when they try to sign some other player.
Thank you, my friend.
But I obviously write about a lot of sports, so it's hard to keep up.
You're just so busy.
I don't even know how I do it.
But that's the gist of it. There's no point really to beat it to death. They could buy him down come summer.
Yeah.
They could then get a DP. Who knows? Might be making Freddie Montero money. But right now, it just... I criticize the Caps for a number of things, but their comment made total sense. Mm-hmm. To be compliant with the roster, the setup of the roster, it made complete sense. Mm-hmm. Move on, people.
Well, and the other thing about it is that this is what guys that go to Europe cost. This is how it works.
Absolutely.
That no matter what they were making here before, they go over there and it gets ratcheted up. And, Robbo's talked about this before. He's not a huge fan of scouting Europe, because you can go to the UK, you can scout a championship team, you can find a guy who's out of favor, Mm-hmm. And he's on six figures. And he, you know, and then you got to, I mean, he, and then next week maybe he is playing again and he's happy again. It's, there is a reason why he does like going to South America, because no matter what he's doing, he's offering these guys a raise and he doesn't have to pay them as much money.
We talked about it a week ago, and which Breck Shea were we going to see in Vancouver? And because it's a wide range. It could be 2011 Breck Shea, 2012 Breck Shea. It could be, you know, 2015, 2016 Breck Shea. Who knows? As we are now in 2017. Fact of the matter is this. Once upon a time, Breck Shea was the runner-up for MLS MVP. Or I think at that point it was called Player of the Year. But it was in 2011. And I don't know if he was the first or second finalist, but he was top three in the league. Mm-hmm. So much so that Stoke came along and said, we're going to pay you, FC Dallas, $2.5 million, or it might have been £2.5 million. So
more
he
money,
goes
more
there.
Money than you have, just to confirm.
That is very true. Very accurate. So he goes, doesn't really work out, but he's getting U.S. men's team call-ups. So, hey, that's another thing on your resume. Oh, this is him talking. I'm going to come back to the U.S. Who can I catch on with? And this is the league that runs everything. Well, guess what? They look out for their own. Their own being the U.S. men's national team player. So they're not going to say, hey, Breck, you can come back to MLS and we're going to give you $150K for the year. Of course not. They're going to give the man money. Now, is he going to be making Michael Bradley $5 million or whatever? No. No, not the case. But he's making good money. And that's why. Because he has a bit of a resume. Is he the best DP around? Is he DP level? What a voice that was. I don't know. Probably not.
Who was that?
I'm not sure. Some random person tweeting me, I think. It's very hard to say. But you know what? There have been a lot of DP busts in this league. I don't think I'd go as far as calling Breck Shea a bust of a DP. But that's gross language, by the way. Just disgusting language. But nothing from you, really? You just left me hanging there? But I've been impressed so far. He's just laughing to himself off microphone. I'm impressed so far with what Breck Shea's offered. I'm curious to see what unfolds here in the next couple of weeks. They got a busy schedule.
Yeah, no, and this is the thing. And, you know, again, this is the preach patience. I know people are sick of hearing about patience.
But Guns and
league,
Roses.
It's a league that demands patience because the final is in the year 2024.
This is true. This is very true.
So that's the real story. It's the long view, and I know that sucks, but
this is a great week ahead if you're a Caps fan, because they got San Jose, then they got to play Tigres, and then a very, very tasty home match on the 18th against Toronto FC on Saturday the 18th.
So here's what we're doing. We just got to assess before we do our exciting introduction of our new wrap up feature. What are they?
Like,
they go to San Jose. They go away. Come away with a point, right? That's what we're saying.
I think a point would be almost as good as a win.
Yeah, come away with a point. They go to Mexico. You know, days later.
Yeah.
The next day, I guess they play on Tuesday.
At yes.
Estadio Universitario.
Ooh,
terrible. My Mexican accent has turned into a disaster. My Spanish.
Speak the Mexican.
On Tuesday.
Yeah.
Obviously they play, you know, to come home with a chance to win, right? That's the dream. Mm-hmm. What are they realistically hoping to come? What are they realistically need to come back with to have any hope?
Let's. And I'm not trying to be pessimistic here. If they can come home, down by two, I think that'd be really positive.
I'd say that too. Yeah,
I think if it's three, it's over.
Yeah.
If it's 3-0, 4-1, it's over.
Because at least with two, there's an idea. Okay, you get one goal, and then you're really grinding one out. You know, you're really trying to say, listen, can we, like, when you come back, I mean, so yeah. Say you're down 2-0, you need two goals to, you know, keep it alive. You get one, then we're playing for something. If they lose 3-1 on aggregate, they lose 4-1 on aggregate, nobody's upset. But if they come home down 3-0,
yeah, if it's 2-0, 3-1 first leg loss, I as odd as it sounds, that I don't think that's terrible. because you have to understand the opposition is really good. Like, it's a different league. No pun intended. Like, it seriously, I don't know if that made sense, but seriously, they are seriously, different quality. Bro. Yeah, bro. Different quality team. So I think that you have to expect them to go down there. I mean, if they came home scoreless draw, 1-1, like, that's ridiculous. They should probably plan a parade.
Is that Robson. Opinion? If they come back, just say that, throw it out there, 1-1. Is that opinion changing about the quality of this team?
Yeah.
I'd say so. I mean, yeah. We're not starting. I mean, you know, obviously, there's a lot of, you know, issues with sort of the construction of the team and worries about, like we talked about, the midfield.
But I think it would be proof of a lot of, and I know it's cliche, but a lot of character.
Yeah.
And a lot of, totally. A lot of, you know, heart.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon my language, a lot of balls. Like, that would be,
pun intended.
Yes. That would be gutsy if they did that.
Yeah.
If they were to come home with a 1-1 draw or something, like, I think I mentally they'd be a complete 180 from a season ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in many ways, even if they start the season, say they start the season with another draw, they start two draws in the league and they come up back with some kind of good result coming from Mexico, I think you're saying, wow, that was a great first month of the season, first 3 weeks.
Definitely.
Of the season.
I'm hopeful there'll be tickets available for that second leg, because the Caps have been giving them away on Twitter like it's going out of style the past couple of days.
So so are you ready to do your? Oh no, you're going to do what places to drink tequila, right? Isn't that how this works?
where can we get coffee in San Jose? Are we, no? I and David Edgar, you get to sit this one out. Are we going to do our club of the week?
I'm really excited.
Because you brought it up a week ago, kind of.
As a joke, and I think it's great.
Yeah, so.
So it's on, at least it's on mic this week.
You said last week you brought up a club, and then.
Romel Kyoto was not the guy I was thinking about.
We talked about Blooming.
Blooming.
And then the actual club you were thinking of was The Strongest.
The Strongest, the best club name in the world.
Not the weakest.
The Strongest.
The Strongest. Okay, so I just randomly picked a club, and I go really far for this one, Italy, because I'm not Italian. But I'm actually really curious about this, because there's a club, and it breaks down to call them being called SPAL 2013, SPAL. And they're in Serie B in Italy. So SPAL stands for Società Polisportiva Arts e Labor, which is basically Sports Society, Arts and Labor. And they've gone bankrupt like 30 times. So that's why they're 2013, because that's what the new...
This is the 2013 version. It,
yeah, it's the 2013 okay. incarnation.
Okay. Why have they gone bankrupt so many times?
I'd have to look it up. Like, come on, what do you think? I'm a wealth of knowledge here?
You're just supposed to be doing research on the loading dock.
I can't do that. Okay, well, quickly. They were founded in 1907. So they got some history, and then they were renamed in 1913. They actually played in...
Does that make them one of the first clubs in Italy? Because, I mean, that's sort of when...
No. There's been other clubs before them.
But I'm just saying, I mean, that's long ago in the history of Italian soccer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Roughly, give or take?
Yeah.
Because they're one of the turn of the century countries, right?
Yeah. And I'd say they're a bit of an ancient club, but I don't think they're by any stretch, the first. You're really putting me on the spot here. So they were actually known as SPAL 1907, once upon a time. They got to Serie A in 1920, and then again from 51 to 68. So they got a little bit of history. And then they were refounded in 2005 after bankruptcy. And then in 2012, they went bankrupt again. And then they came back as SPAL 2013. But the story here is the fact that they currently sit like second in Serie B. So they are fighting for promotion to Serie A for next season. And they got an interesting color scheme. It's very, I'll even show you, this won't do well for podcasting, but they look kind of like the Minnesota United FC.
Yes.
With that color scheme.
Yeah.
Kind of a bit of an Argentina feel.
I like those home jerseys, because it's almost like Uruguay, those home jerseys.
Yeah. Yeah. So they got the black, blue, gray, that blue being baby blue, white. So very curious to watch here. But yeah. Refounded 2005, 2012, 2013. So they've hit the skids a couple times, but... I'm curious to see. Watch out for them, folks. They could be next to Serie A next season.
Because, of course, Italian clubs are known for being financially stable.
They are so stable. They are so stable, so sustainable in Italy. They know what they're doing. They're not corrupt at all. I can say that. I'm Italian.
Damn it.
Not fair. I love it. Great job. Thank you for starting that.
Yeah.
Leading us off. I'll have to okay. raise the level.
Yeah, you got to pick it up next week,
Can't
buddy.
Be the strongest or spal or blessing.
Blooming.
Blooming.
Blessing. What is the club run by priests?
Isn't
blessing?
A club called Blessing?
They might be, actually. There very well might be a club known as,
look it up,
as Blessing.
If there is, folks, come back. Tune in.
Quickly on my end here, some people have asked about off the pitch, as I call it OTP. And
some
by some
thing.
People, I mean about three people, one of them being my mother. I think we'll get back at it this weekend. Okay?
That podcast thing? How does she call it?
I believe she actually says, and the podcast. That was a weird voice.
But that's pretty good. I like that.
Not actually my mom. Whatever.
You're just playing up the stereotypes now.
Yeah, I can.
It's fair. It's fair.
This is my first day.
All right, folks. That's Mike Martinego. He is at Mike Martinego on Twitter. I'm at Rising Action. Provincesports.com/radio for all our podcasts. You can check out iTunes. Search for Whitecaps Weekly. It'd be great if you gave us a rating or a review. Helps other people find our fabulous podcast.
It's true.
It's true. And search for us on... we're also on TuneIn. We're on Stitcher.
Did you?
There's a link on the page if you're using some other podcast player, like you're, because you're on Android.
iPhone.
All right, folks. We'll see you next week.